Born again. That's what Jesus called it. We want to study what Jesus meant by that. What could possibly be more important to our souls than to know what it means to be born again? Only once in Jesus' entire ministry do we hear Jesus saying, "You must be born again." Just once. And it's in the conversation that he had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I want to take a close look at that section of the scriptures. Up to now, we've seen that the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus had to die and be buried and be resurrected and ascend into heaven and to offer himself to the Father and be accepted by the Father in order for the new birth to be made possible for us. So it's only reasonable to say that no one was born again before Jesus ascended into heaven. There's no scripture that literally says that. That's not the revelation. That's the result of understanding the revelation. That's looking and believing in the scriptures concerning Jesus' work and then being reasonable about what we find. Here in John chapter 3, when he describes the new birth to Nicodemus, Jesus tells of something connected with the new birth that occurs every single time someone is born of the Spirit of God. When Jesus spoke about a new birth, he was preaching a new doctrine never heard of since the world began. He was, in fact, speaking a prophecy when he said, "You must be born again," because he was talking about something that could not be experienced while he was here in the flesh. Nicodemus was not an enemy of Jesus Christ. He was probably a believer, one of those secret believers that were living at that time. We're told in John chapter 3 that he came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee, and yet he said he knew that Jesus was sent from God. In John 3, verse 2, Nicodemus said, "We know." He said, "We know." There was a group of people among the Pharisees who believed in Jesus, and that's exactly what we're told in John chapter 12, verse 42. Listen, it says, "Among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but because of their fear of the Pharisees, because they did not want to be put out of their sect, they did not confess their faith in Jesus, lest they should be excommunicated or put out of the synagogue." And verse 43 adds this sad note, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Are you of a similar spirit? Afraid to be put out of your little group if God shows you that His way is different from what you have been taught? Are you among the many people who will not follow after the Spirit of God in order to save face among men? There are many in that place. Make up your mind now that whatever is right, you are going to follow if God will give you the grace to do it. It will be worth whatever it takes, whatever persecution may follow. You may be made the joke of the town, but that's okay. Jesus was too. Those men from John chapter 12 believed in Jesus, but they did not want to be put out of their religious group. They believed that Jesus was sent by God, but they dared not say it lest their fellow worshipers should mock them the way they mocked Jesus. Think about it. The men who mocked Jesus praised the prophets, but the prophets were dead. Now that Jesus is in heaven, many religious men will praise the prophets and Jesus, but deny the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus sent to take His place. What we want to do is to catch up with what God is doing right now and praise Him for what He is giving us right now instead of falling into the trap of praising his work in the past and denying his power in the present. Jesus sent the Spirit back to be his vicar, to take his place. He said, I will send you another comforter. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send something to take my place. Only those who receive the Spirit of God, only those who submit to Jesus' baptism and receive the new birth are real believers. It's easy to speak of holy men who aren't here now. It's easy. The flesh enjoys speaking about how great those men were, but what about how great the Holy Ghost is now? How about what God is doing now? Anyone can glorify God for what he used to do or what he did to others, but what about what he's offering now? That's where the real test is. Back to that scene in John chapter 3, Nicodemus is talking to Jesus and he told him, we know that you are a teacher sent from God because no one can do the miracles that you're doing unless God is with him. Jesus ignored the flattery and he got right to the point. In John 3, Jesus responded to Nicodemus' confession of faith in him by saying, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this threw Nicodemus into confusion because, as I said, Jesus was teaching a doctrine that had never been dreamed of. He was saying you had to be born again. Nicodemus asked him, was he teaching reincarnation in verse 4? What are you talking about? He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter again the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus ignored that question too. He knew that Nicodemus was confused, but he also knew what his father was putting in his heart to say to him. And he said in the next verse, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus was not saying that there will be two baptisms connected with him. He was not saying to be baptized with water and be baptized of the Spirit. He wasn't talking about two different kinds of baptisms. He was talking about two different kinds of births. John the Baptist had a baptism in water. Jesus has his in spirit. But Jesus wasn't saying to be born of water was to be baptized with John's baptism. He explains in the next verse what he means. In verse 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The birth of water is your natural birth. You have to have a natural birth in order to receive the spiritual birth. You have to be born the first time in order to be born the second time. This is basic common sense here. Let me read you verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus already had the first birth because, how do you know that? Because he was sitting there. He was a human being. He had a body. Everyone that's born the first time has a body. You must be born a second time. You must be born the first time in order to be born the second time. That is so simple that we stumble all over ourselves trying to understand it. He knew that Nicodemus was still stunned and questioning what was going on, and Jesus told him, don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. What was he talking about? And how do you know which experience of the many that we have with God is this new birth? In the next verse, Jesus tells us. John 3:8 has to be one of the very most important verses in the Bible, because Jesus describes the new birth. He said, the wind blows wherever it wants to, and you hear its sound. You cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now listen to that. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know where the Spirit's coming from. You don't know who it's blessed last or who it will bless next, but you can always hear it when it comes. The wind blows wherever it will, and you hear the sound thereof, and this is how it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Think about this, how important this is. Jesus has given us a consistent characteristic of the new birth. He's told us of a recognizable element of being born again that is always present. It's there every time someone is born again. What is it? You hear the sound thereof. When did that ever happen? I know of one place in Acts chapter 2 where it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What Jesus told Nicodemus is a perfect description of what happened to his disciples on the day of Pentecost, because it is a perfect description of the new birth. You hear the sound thereof. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, he went on to say, that we are the children of God. It's the Spirit's testimony that makes the difference in heaven. John said in 1 John 5, 6, he said, the Spirit is the witness because the Spirit is truth. This crying out, Abba, Father, this Spirit confessing, this sound of the wind when it blows through your soul is a physical sound. You hear it. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. All of these scriptures and others like them indicate that when a person receives the Holy Ghost, he speaks in a language he has not learned, just as the disciples did when they were born again. And just as with those disciples, there are experiences with Christ that we have before that experience. We can come to love Him, to follow Him, to seek to obey Him, to repent of all our sins, to receive His Word into our hearts, to read His Scriptures, to begin to learn to do well, to do the will of God. But all of those experiences are not the new birth. None of them is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. That's when you hear the sound of the Spirit speaking through you. We do not discount any of the wonderful blessings you've had from Jesus. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, we do not discount what you have really had from God. We know that you must have experiences with Christ before you're born again. Those experiences are holy. They're good. They're to be desired. They're to be prayed for. It's the work of God in your heart, but it's supposed to be leading you to the wind of God blowing through your soul. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. This is what Jesus was describing to Nicodemus when he said, you hear the sound of the wind. You don't know much else about it. You don't know where God's coming from last or where He's going to next. But with everyone born of the Spirit, you hear the sound of the Spirit when it comes. Has that sound come through you? If not, do not be discouraged. Be thankful for everything you've received from God, and seek Him with all your heart, and it is what you will receive, because everyone that knocks, it's open to. Everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. Don't be discouraged. It is for you. That's why you have a desire for God. That desire in your heart to know what is really true about Jesus didn't come from your flesh. It came from heaven. And it came from heaven to lead you to the new birth and beyond, to a life in the Spirit, a life of holiness and wisdom and love of God and truth and purity, and in the end, eternal salvation to be with our Father in heaven. The new birth. Ye must be born again. Words of the Savior who came and suffered and died and offered Himself to God so that we could have it. And when we receive it, we hear the sound thereof.